Hello, Backdoor Podcast fans. We are here for another interview, another one-to-one with the players, GM, and personalities about basketball around Europe. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Adrian Banks. You welcome, Adrian, on Backdoor Podcast one-to-one.
Hello, how are you? How is everyone?
Very, very good. Let's start with something off the court. What about your rapper career? I find a song you made some years ago, I suppose, called as Two Cups. What about your rapper career right now?
It was just right now. It's pretty much on hold. You know, once you have a couple kids, that fun or part of your life is kind of ends. I didn't really have the time. I don't really have the time now to kind of even put as much focus into that right now as I used to. But it was just a nice hobby that I was into when I was a little younger. I had time when I didn't have kids to sit there and listen to music and think of things to write to the instrumentals. But yeah, I guess you could say I'm retired in the music business.
Okay, we are looking for your comeback as a rapper. I want to share with you a quote you made in the past. You say the ball, the basketball, you can't say it saved your life, but gave you a life. What does it mean, this, for you?
I don't really know how to put it into words. It's one of those, I guess you could say, quotes that if you know, it's like a code that you can't really explain fully. It's really for people who might be similar, going through the same thing I've been through. And it's just one of those catchy things that you can't really explain, honestly. I don't really.
I try to make it simple. What's the meaning of the basketball job in your life?
Now with kids is not as big, but before my family and my children, basketball was really everything for me. You know, it's the reason why I went to university. It's the reason why I was even, you know, stayed as interested in school. It definitely kept me out of trouble. I didn't see that when I was younger. And, you know, definitely growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, a lot of friends who played basketball, a lot of friends who could easily be in the position I'm in right now that are not, because they made different decisions. And luckily I was able to be so focused, and basketball was so focused on me that it, you know, it kind of saved my life in a lot of way. And it gave me a life. You know, if I wasn't playing basketball, I wouldn't have met my wife in Israel, which then, if you don't add me and her together, I don't have the family I have now. So basketball has given me everything. And now I think, you know, as I'm coming to an end of my career, whatever basketball gave me, that's what I will enjoy in my next life, in the next chapter. And I'm excited for that.
Do you ever think about your next chapter after the basketball career?
Every once in a while it pops up in my head, but my family knows that I'm playing basketball, so I'm only thinking about basketball. You know, my focus is on my job like it's been for the past 15 years, and that's all I want to think about. I think when I start to think about what I want to do after, maybe it's time for me to retire. But my mind is still so in tune with basketball, so in tune with practice, still in tune with my teammates, still in tune with winning and losing, you know, the emotional stress that comes with it. I still, you know, kind of crave those feelings, the responsibility as a basketball player, the excitement to play in front of 5,000 people where there's clapping for you, screaming your name, you know, when the game is over. You know, I won't walk into the grocery store and people bang, you know, I won't have that anymore. That life will be over. You know, I will no longer be complimented for the good things I do playing basketball. So I want to hold on to those opportunities and those, I guess you could say, experiences for as long as I can. And if I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna be focused on that. So I'm trying not to think about the next chapter, but you know, it's kind of hard as the older you get it.
Okay, let's start now with your basketball career with full of experience and good stuff. You start played in Arkansas. You played for very good coaches. What are your feelings about that period?
Well, the great memories I had about college is, and I think the reason why they're so great is because the people that I my teammates, you know, when you're younger and when you're in college, you play with teammates from anywhere from 1 to 4 years, or most of the time 4 years. And when before that in high school, you play with the same group of guys, maybe, like I said, 3 or 4 years straight. So you build this chemistry with teammates, with friends. And that's what I kind of miss the most here in professional basketball in Europe. You probably play with a different guy or a different group of guys every single season, which is one reason why I chose to continue to stay in Italy. You know, I'm familiar with everybody, a lot of the teammates that I have each year that I'm on a new team, but I've either played with them before or I know them for a few years. So I really just miss that real brotherhood of a team, being able to go to war with guys who you're living with every day, who you're struggling with every day, who you're trying to make it with every day. And you know, I just really miss that grind, that part of the grind with basketball. It really kind of like creates the person you're going to be if you reach that professional level.
You started your career as a professional player in 2020. You went to Israel, and that experience was so important for you from a basketball standpoint, obviously, but as a life standpoint. As you mentioned, you find there your wife. What's the meaning of that period for you at and how much it helps for growing you as a man and as a professional player?
Well, as a basketball player, it was important because I was coming after 2 years in Belgium. You know, played pretty good, but me and my agent felt it was time to start in a new country and see what we can do. And when I first got to Israel, I mean, the guys that I met the first day, and I mean, it's the first people or guys that I met, they were my age, actually. I'm still very good friends with those guys today. We're still friends, we're still brothers. They're like family to me. And that really what says a lot about that experience with Israel is when I got there, the people just accepted me and my character and my attitude. And I loved it too because it was, you know, I was becoming an adult. It was after college, 2 years out, trying to find myself as a man, trying to also enjoy myself as a young man. And, you know, I was starting to mature a little bit more. I wanted more out of basketball. I wanted more out of life instead of just playing and partying and stuff like that. And Israel kind of gave me a base to start from, a foundation. And you know, they're big on family there. They're big on the holidays and celebrating. And once I started going to a few Shabbats with my friends, you know, Israel started to have a hold on me. And that allowed me to, I guess you could say, dig deeper into the country. And I started to meet friends. I started to meet their families. I started to gain relationships with those people. And then I met my wife. I didn't know it was going to be my wife at the time, but I ended up meeting her. We had a great friendship relationship, and you know, it turned out to be a partnership also. And you know, Israel just kind of, like I said, it was my foundation for becoming an adult. It was the starting point. Okay, these are your friends in life. I could get used to this country. I like it here. It's very nice, and you know, the rest is history.
Starting your Italian career, you played in a lot of city, a lot of teams, a lot of good teams. But start with Varese, your first experience. I've interviewed Achille Polonara 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he say if Brian Dunstan was not injured, you probably have won that game 7 against Siena. What do you think about it, and what do you remember about that team and in particular that season with high expectation, and you could have reached the final of Italian championship?
I think the special thing about that team was from the first few days in preseason, each player kind of understood their role already. We knew that the team had invested a lot in us and we're trying to make a big push to do some great things that season. And all of us, from Mike Green to Brian Dunstan to Ebby Erie to Akili Polinar, who was a younger then, a few other, Eric Rush, the Nicolau, we all were in a point where we were trying to find ourselves. Me too, coming to Italy, it was the next level of basketball in Israel. I wanted to know, could I play in the in the real European league? Like I told you, Akili was younger. A lot of other guys were younger. Mike Green, he was my age. Brian Dunstan, my age also. So we were both kind of in the same part of our careers and lives. And I also played with Mike Green in Belgium 2 years before that. And we made it to the finals that year also. So I had some chemistry with the point guard, which was good for me. And also, when you throw in a guy like Frank Vertucci, who's a great people person, like he's a great guy as a man. And it was days where he would talk to you and you wouldn't even think he was a coach. So he kind of kept everybody calm and chill. And we were all just eager to show that what we could do. It was a great feeling playing together. And like I said, from day one, we all just knew our roles on the team. Like we used to park in our same spots every day. Nobody parked in nobody else's spot. Once we saw you parking it, that's his spot, this mine. Like everything was understood. And it translated to on the court also. And we definitely would have won, I think, with Brian Dunstan. Dominant player. He's been in the EuroLeague since that, since after he left Varese, defensive player of the year. So that kind of tells you a lot. I think me and Achille are telling the truth.
You played for Coach Vitucci in Varese, you played for Coach Vitucci in Brindisi, and what brings him, what he brings to your game, and he let you to be a better player, and you said that he makes you a less selfish player, if I can say in this way. What does it mean for you as a coach and as a mentor?
Well, in Varese, it was just basically getting to know him, and he made that a lot easier because he wanted to get to know you. It wasn't always about basketball, which was a great thing, especially being away from home. My first 4 years experience, I was away from home, before social media became very big, so you didn't get a chance to talk to your family or friends as much as you do now. And just having a coach or a guy who's in control, who kind of just knows you're a human being too, and doesn't treat you like a robot or like they own you and constantly yelling at you. I remember one day particular, he kind of yelled at me for something. I kind of yelled back. This is before the relationship became, I'm a younger guy. He said something, I yelled back, blah, blah, blah. I twist my ankle. Frank comes over to me and says, "Hey man, I'm sorry about the yelling at you. I feel like if I didn't yell at you, maybe you would have been more focused and not twist your ankle." And from that point, I never had a coach come to me and say whether he was wrong or right, or whether I was wrong. I don't think I was as right. Just him coming to me like a man and a person, and just even saying something as simple as that, it really just opened this door for me and him. And ever since then, we've been locked in together. Like just a brilliant man, just a nice man.
I have to ask you about a painful moment. I think in the Italian Cup with Avellino against Olimpia Milano, and that steal from David Moss. You had the ball, and Moss stole that ball to you. Every professional player has to overcome that moment. What do you remember about that moment? And that moment make you a better player in after that.
And it's even harder now talking about it, I guess, live, because I think about that a lot. I every time the Final Eight comes around, no matter how the good moments I've had, that moment that we played at Desio against Milan, it like comes to haunt me all the time. And that year I also was, Frank was the coach in Avellino, and I lost, and losing that game and him being the coach and just the team we had built, it just was sick to my stomach. But my teammates were very supportive. I ended up getting engaged to my wife after that. I had expected to marry my ask my wife to marry me during the Final Eight in Milan. And luckily, we not luckily, but unfortunately, I had that bad moment and we end up losing. But I was able, my wife's father was there, so I was able to propose to her in front of him, enjoy this great evening and great 2 days in Milan. with my fiance, with her father there. So it kind of worked out for my life. And I kind of really just took it as, you know, basketball is basketball. You know, good or bad, it's going to happen. But your family and creating a family is something that's going to last forever. And that my wife kind of helped me get over that situation. And it also just forced me to work harder as a player. I didn't want to be embarrassed like that again, even though you have no control of it. You know, it's just something that I don't want to happen again. So I try and play so hard for it not to happen again.
Then you come back to Israel, and I want you to share something about your project, helping youth, helping people to make basketball. Your basketball academy in Israel is something important, I suppose, for you. And I want to let everyone know what's this about.
Well, it's called Hoops for Kids. We started out in Netanya, and now we've kind of branched off around Israel to a few other cities. We usually were helping Ethiopian kids who were at risk. You know, they don't really have the regular everyday needs that, you know, kids need to just have a healthy life, whether that's a snack after school, whether that's friends to play with, whether that's a safe place to play. Whether that's just, hey, seeing a basketball player come to your gym and play basketball with you for an hour and let you know that, you know, we see you, like they see me. Oh, I'm somebody. So it really, to keep it as simple as I can, that's really what we did. We just wanted to help at-risk students learn how to be good people through basketball, learn how to go solve problems as teammates, learn how to take each of us have a responsibility with basketball. It's the same in life. Just teaching life skills through basketball. And half of that is, and I think the most important and half of that is just being there, letting the kids see you, building relationships with the kids, you know, just doing the little things, providing them a safe place after school, providing them with food after school, you know, just to keep it simple. And we love to bring other players in, other teams to go visit schools, go read to them, go basketball training with them, invite them to games. Sometimes we've supported kids and got them a scholarship to go play basketball in the grade schools there because they don't have the parents don't have the money for the shoes and things like that. So we were able to help a lot of kids just have a place to go and have a place to feel wanted for a few hours a day out of the week, every week. And you know, it's a good feeling when you have kids really excited to see you and you know they need help.
Now let's talk about Brindisi, a big chapter of your career, two chapters of your career. I've talked with Darius Thompson some weeks ago when he arrives in Milan for EuroLeague game, and he shares some funny moments with Brindisi fan. There's a lot of hype for the team in Brindisi, a lot of love for the team. What do you remember most about the fan and that period in Brindisi?
Honestly, that when I came back to Brindisi, because this was well, I was there with Frank. I was there before with Buki. After Avellino, I went to Brindisi with Buki, and then I went to Israel. And then when I came back, Frank called me that summer, and he's like, "Hey, listen, I'm in Brindisi. What you doing?" And at that point in Israel, I wanted to get back to Italy to play at that high level. I was just missing the way I was playing back the way the game is played in Europe. And when I got there for preseason, I remember Frank Bertucci saying, "Listen, I don't know if you would like to or not, but I was thinking about making you the captain." And I was like 10 years in at the time. I'm like, "Hell yeah, I've been waiting on this job promotion. I want to be a captain. You know, I think I can be a captain." And I really, when he made me captain, I really just I took that in with everything in my body. It was my risk. I felt like I was the third coach on the team, really. That's how serious I took my job as the captain there. And Frank did a great job of just putting guys that understood basketball and understood who are also leaders. So when I was a leader, they understood what I was doing, which made it a lot easier. It wasn't like he went and got a bunch of people who follow. No, he went and got leaders also, but he made it clear that Adrian was the captain and those guys led and helped and followed, and I followed and led. And You know, like I said, when you got Frank, who's a good guy who understands people, it just creates this good vibe. And he really created a good vibe down there. And luckily, I played in Brindisi before, so I knew the fans were very, I'm not going to say emotional because that makes it sound bad, but they're very involved in what's going on in the basketball team. And they're very supportive. So I knew that if we could get things rolling in Brindisi, that the people would support us like crazy. We would be unstoppable. I at least have that feeling and pride of the South that, hey, you know, it's pretty like a confidence cocky feeling that we created there. Like, yeah, we know we good. You're going to have to beat us to show us otherwise. And I think we kind of started that little era there. And Frank did a great job of putting professional experienced guys around me the first year. And the second year when I started to score real well, the second year with John Brown, it was like the guys who were there already were already in line with me. And if you come here to Brindisi, this is how we do things. So you need to fall in line. And the guys who came fell right in line. And when one thing about me is when my teammates have that confidence in me and my coaches have that confidence in me, the level of play for me just goes to another level. It's a great feeling when people depend on you. You are responsible for creating the vibes. And I just love that and crave that. And my teammates made me so much of a better player. They're probably the best team I've played on in my career. If I could pick a top team all time in my career, that Brindisi team, the second year when we played the Final Eight, and I think it was Florence, that would be my top team of all time.
Talk about your decision to go to Bologna, to Fortitudo Bologna after Brindisi, and it's not correct, but there was a beef between the fans and you. They don't like your decision to go to Fortitudo Bologna after the feeling, after the link you had with Brindisi. Can we explain why did you choose Bologna and something about that decision?
Well, I don't know if it's a human feeling to feel that way when someone leaves, because this is European basketball. five or six players leave during the season, good or not. And we all know that each year, you could, like I said earlier, you could be anywhere the next year. Nothing is for certain, no matter how good it is. And the second thing is, I don't think it was a beef. I wasn't beefing. I'm trying to continue to do my job and work. And if you remember, this is right after COVID. This is right when COVID hit, when I signed in Bologna. So it's either me knowing Italy and my experience, either I want to go to the South and be in Brindisi where I've experienced when COVID hit, or do I want to go to Bologna where I'm close to an airport where I don't have to take as many plane flights. I don't have to travel by plane to most games. The only game I flew to were Sassari, Brindisi, Avellino, and Naples weren't in the league at the time, I don't think. So for me to be able to just take the bus, be safer, be healthier, also be able to go, say, if things got worse again, I would be able to leave quicker or get more help if I was up, you know, in the northern middle area of Italy. And to be fully honest with you also, I had a family at the time, and Bologna was offering me a decent amount of money. And I heard rumors that Brindisi offered me the same money, which is no way the truth at all. But I got this team that's wanting to pay me this good amount of money. And because they've seen how good my last season was, which is what everybody in life does, not just basketball players. You work very hard so that someone will notice how hard and how good you are, what you're doing. So that maybe someone pays you a little bit more, maybe. I kind of think that's how life goes. And that's really what it was about me. I had a family to support, kids, my wife. During COVID, I don't know if the season will last 2 months. I don't know if the season will last five. I don't even know if we fully going to be able to play. So let me go here where I know I can at least make a little more money, more than a little more, but more money. And I can also be in this area or this region of Italy where I at least feel a lot safer with basketball. I feel a lot safer taking the bus, staying at a hotel one night than flying and being around all these people, having to stay in a hotel two times, because it was a lot of traveling in Brindisi. And it was just starting to get a hold on to me. So that's honestly the full reason why I made that decision to leave. I called Frank right before I decided to leave. And, you know, he understood everything. The people that were there fighting with me every day, that were there practicing, training, blood, sweat, and tears, every one of them understood, you know, what my decision was about. So, you know, I kind of really didn't think about anybody else, which I didn't have to and I shouldn't have to. So I was making a decision as a man. I was making a decision as a father, as a husband, and also, you know, my safety. My with COVID, not knowing anything about COVID, I just felt safer in that area, in that region of Italy.
In Bologna, basketball is a very serious thing. A lot of fans talk about basketball every day and feel basketball every day. How could you manage this situation, this pressure from the fans in Bologna, in particular in a not so good season like you had in Bologna?
You know, I knew the sensation of going to play in Bologna. I knew pressure. As soon as you signed, it was going to be pressure. And, you know, I just think it was difficult with COVID because those fans are, they are, I can't explain. It's like an army. It's really like an army. And we never got the chance to have our army with us, to have the state, to play at Paladoza with you know how beautiful that is. We never experienced that, and I think that's a big part of the tradition there in Bologna is Fortitudo. It's like you have six people on the court if you include the fans. If you know, we just never had that upper hand. And also, you know, the people with the most experience. You know, I think you get experience from not bad but tough, getting through tough situations. And that year taught me a lot about myself also. It taught me a lot about players, other teammates, and paying attention and the business of basketball also. But I'm, you know, to me that was a successful season for me personally because I stayed there and toughed it out, grinded it out. Every day I tried to do my best, do my job, stay professional. We switched coaches. Each coach, I think, could tell you that I was very professional. I think my teammates could tell you that, you know, I came there to work and do my job. The people that work there can tell you, I believe, Adrian, you know, a great worker, great person, good attitude. That's really what I was kind of caring about in those situations. When basketball isn't going too well, just remain a good guy, a good character, and do your thing. And it really just taught me a lot about myself and what I can handle and not handle.
Now we can talk about Treviso, your Treviso experience right now as a player. What are your goal in particular as a team, but for you as a player for this season?
Oh, well, my goal is always to try to make the playoffs. That's the team goal. That's my personal goal. But also, this is a good place where they develop a lot of good young players. It's a good place to develop a basketball player. And me being older, being around so many young people, it makes me feel young. I also have a lot of information in my head, basketball-wise, that I want to pass down to guys. And here I'm in the right place where the guys are so young, I could probably tell them to do a cartwheel in the layup line, and I think someone would do it. You know, not saying that they're stupid, but just the amount of respect that they have for me here, the young players. You know, half of those guys or most of these guys nowadays that are playing and that are young in the next gen were watching me when they were 10 years old, 11 years old, and here they are, 18 and 19, a teammate of Adrian Banks. And you know, they're like, "You remember the game you played in?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know." It's so I'm experiencing those things which are new to me. You know, I'm the oldest player on the team now, so those feelings and emotions are new to me. The father, uncle type of vibes that I have right now. You know, I appreciate these young kids so much because they really treat me like the veteran, and it's become a good experience. And also with my coach Marcelo, him being a former player, you know, I kind of love that idea of playing for someone who's also played in this country at a high level that can kind of understand me as a player right now. So it's been a great experience, man. A real great experience so far.
The last group of questions. some funny question. You have to choose three most funny teammates you had in your career. I want to say you. I've done this question to Achille in that interview, and he puts you in his top five. You can feel the pressure about it. But what are the three names of your teammate, the most funny you had in your whole career?
Definitely number one is John Brown. John Brown, Giovanni Moroni. He's my top choice. Who else? I'm gonna try to go with an Italian. Man, I've played with some funny. Polinaro was very funny. I would put him in the top five, maybe not top three, because I met him. I played with him when he was younger, so you know how young guys are. We would go to Milan and have some great nights. He's very funny after a few beers. Danny Cavallero, I played with him last year in Trieste, and also in Avellino, I played with him. He's very funny. He knows a lot about the American style and culture, so he can kind of say and joke about things that you. That most guys can't. Another American, Ty Stone, Tyler Stone. He's from Memphis. He crazy, and I mean that like in a funny, crazy way. He's gonna say whatever's on his head. He doesn't care. He's just that young guy that's gonna say what you. He's gonna say what you want to say, but you don't say. So, I think those guys, John Brown, Tyler Stone, Danny Cavallero, Achilles in the top five. Mike Green back in Brindisi. He's one of the funniest players I played with. I played with him for 2 years in Belgium and in Varese, and I still have a relationship with him now. We still share a laugh or two on Instagram every once in a while.
Now you have to name the five best defender you've ever played against in your world career. I know it's not easy to think in one moment, but you have to name five of them.
Kevin Martin, Jeremy Chappelle, Andrea De Nicolau, David Moss, especially when he was in Siena. Man, ooh, Siena and Milan. I used to get tired of him. Who else? I would say Kyle Weems, because he's a bigger. He can play the 3, 2, 4, and it's kind of tough for me when a big guy like that with a big frame is kind of chasing me and smothering me with the passes. So I would say those five guys.
The last question is, describe Adrian Banks with only three words.
A big kid. I'm a big kid, especially with this basketball. I love it like I was 5, 6, 7 years old. A big kid. A big kid, even in life. I just try to be myself, make sure my teammates are enjoying themselves, laughing, a few giggles here, keep the vibes cool. But I'm a big kid. That's exactly what I am.
Two only two words. I need a big kid. Two words is enough.
Say that. I tried to throw A in there. A big kid.
Okay.
Big kid.
I agree. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experience. And obviously, good luck for the continuation of this season.
Thank you so much for letting me share my experiences, and thank you for having me and thinking about me, man. Good luck on the future for you also.